And welcome to another episode of the Infernal Brains podcast. I'm Tars from TarsTarkus.net.
And I'm Todd Statman from Die Danger, Die Die Kill, aka 4DK.
So today we're going to discuss the 2010 film Red Eagle, aka NC Dang. And in doing so, we'll have to talk about other Red Eagle films throughout history.
Yeah, and yes, people, we are going to be talking about Thai films today, so you fans of hearing people's names horribly mangled, you have tuned in to the right episode of The Infernal Brains, because the Thai language, and specifically the names of people in the Thai film industry, are the natural enemies of our Caucasian thumb-shaped tongues. So we apologize in advance if you ever wanted to start a Infernal Brains drinking game, this might be the night to do it, because we're really going to be, it's going to be a bloodbath, I'm telling you.
Yeah, but we promise to mispronounce their names in style.
Exactly, and equally. We will mispronounce everybody's name. We won't discriminate.
If you do detect us pronouncing someone's name correctly, feel free to write in, and you'll win a free copy of the Infernal Brains podcast episode of NC Dang.
Wow, can we afford that?
With the new ad budget, yes.
Yeah, okay. Right, with our new sponsors. Yeah,
our new sponsors, radio station WNCD, NC Dang Radio.
So today's discussion of NC Dang is going to come initially from a place of sadness, of disappointment, of bitterness, because Tars and I finally got around to watching the Wizit Sasanatangs. There we go. There's number one. We should have a bell. Ding! Yep. That was the first one.
I'll do it in post.
Okay.
Not really, because I'm lazy, but yeah. Pretend there's bells. You at home.
Or if you have your own bell at home, please feel free to ring along, or a buzzer might work too.
Yeah, or buy us a bell.
Buy us a bell.
Yes. We accept PayPal. The 2010 NC Dang, you know, it sounded like it'd be awesome because Wizit Wizit, he did Tears
the Wiz,
of the
as we like to call him.
The Wiz Master. He did Tears of the Black Tiger, which was pretty damn awesome. And he did some other movies too, which I didn't watch.
Citizen Dog, which was also pretty good.
Oh, okay.
And The Unseeable, which was not good. Which should, if you had seen it, would clue you in that, as good as his other movies were, Wizit Sasanatang is not above doing a mediocre movie for, you know, for a paycheck. So
the title was correct on that movie.
Yeah, it's pretty much Unseeable.
Yes.
I wish it was Unseeable, I guess is what I should say. Yeah, I have to confess that I'm guilty of kind of hyping this movie on my blog. That's why it's funny that it actually took me a year to finally getting around to seeing it. Because especially since, you know, I don't even write about new movies on my blog. You know, I don't usually do that thing where it's like, you know, ooh, the new trailer for this movie is out. Check it out. You know, but because I like the old NC Dang movies, the old Thai movies that this is a reboot of, and because I liked The Wiz's other films so much, especially Tears of the Black Tiger, which showed that he had a fondness for older Thai films, so it seemed like he would have been the perfect person to make this movie. So yeah. I got all into the, you know, I posted a few things saying, you know, how could this not be awesome, basically. Mm-hmm. I fell into the old nerd frenzy over it. But then by the time it came out, I heard enough advanced word that it really was not that great.
It sounded like a good idea.
Definitely. Yes. But once I saw it, I mean, I understand. I mean, maybe we should talk. Should we talk a little bit about who NC Dang is and what the Red Eagle is to kind of back this up? Or should we just...
Okay, well, let's go to the old school NC Dangs and who NC Dang, a.k.a. Rome Ritakrai.
Mm. Or maybe the origin of the character, since he was a...
And what he was and what we thought he would be versus what he actually turned out to be in the new movie.
And what we learned about ourselves in the process.
Yes. So the old NC Dang films were based on pulp stories that were written in the 50s during the post-World War II years in Thailand. where there actually was gangs running around, like bandit gangs that controlled areas of the country.
Right.
Yeah, just like in Black Tears of the Black Tiger.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, apparently there was a... Tars wrote a series of really pretty phenomenal articles on the NC Dang films on his site, which you can check out too. But apparently there was a big influx of guns into the country during World War II, thanks to the good old US of A, mostly, mm-hmm. right? We were arming the resistance against the Japanese in Thailand. And then when we left, there was all kinds of guns in mm-hmm. Thailand, mm-hmm. A previously pretty gun-free country, and sort of a gun culture rose up out of that, and with all the violence and crime that went with that.
Mm-hmm.
But on the plus side, lots of violent pop culture came out of it as well.
Yeah, and so there was a lot of violent writing, mainly like heroes who worked beyond the law to gun down the evil gangs, but they'd also go against the evil corrupt police who people blame right. for not controlling the gangs.
Right, it's the old mass vigilante hero yeah. genre.
A lot of the serials became pretty popular, and there's a whole slew of movies, most of which sadly exist only in a few tattered promotional photos and posters, but the most popular by far was... Sekta Sit's NC Dang character, and part of that was the actor that portrayed him, Mit Chai Bansha, was the number one actor in Thailand in that period.
Thai cinema always said in every period, it seems, every decade, it seems like they have the guy.
Yeah.
You know, and in that there's basically one star who's in every movie. It seems like throughout the 60s, Mit Chai Bansha was in pretty much everything to the extent... Well, actually, I think the statistic you hear is that he was in one-third to one-half of every movie released every year, and he, with the result that he was in hundreds of movies, and mm-hmm. that's how they roll in the Thai film industry, sort of a different work ethic as opposed to American stars who make one movie mm-hmm. every 2 years and then lay back on a mountain of cocaine and mm-hmm. read scripts in the intervening time.
Yep. And like they don't even know how many movies he was in.
Right.
And so they can just estimate. And so he is popular, NC Dang's popular, and that made him super popular.
Mm-hmm.
And he's usually teamed up with an actress named Petchara Chowrat in a lot of his films, and so she plays the girl for NC Dang, who's his alter ego's girl.
Yeah, what is, because in one of your reviews you referred to her as his wife, and I'm not clear, her name, the character's name is Oi.
Yeah.
And I wasn't clear if she is definitely his alter ego's significant other, mm-hmm. and she's also sort of the sidekick of NC Dang, or maybe she more keeps the home fires burning, so maybe she's sort of like Alfred to NC Dang's Batman, kind of. But they have an interesting relationship.
Yeah, I think I wrote her as wife because I think they refer to them as being together at some point, but I don't know if it was actually as a wife. NC Dang is pretty much a super awesome masculine dude who just does whatever he wants, and usually he's taking down giant gangs.
Yeah, either... A lot of times communist infiltrators in Thailand or organized crime.
Yeah, and so he just breaks into the gang hideouts and finds information and then shoots a whole bunch of them.
Yeah, he's more of a... He's almost just like a prowler than he is a superhero. It's a lot of his exploits in these movies involve him just breaking into somebody's house, like the master criminal's house, and he just sneaks around a lot. And then there's usually a girl, and then he makes out with the girl. He's really he's a real dog, is NC Dang. And then almost invariably he gets caught out, and then he has to blast his way out with his twin revolvers, you know. Mm-hmm. He's not that good of a cat burglar because usually he gets caught by the goons. But not a lot of, like, you know, other than that, he's not super athletic. He doesn't have any, you know, super abilities. He's just he thinks he's good, a lot better at creeping around in houses than he actually turns out to be.
Yeah, his superpower is basically just being awesome.
And he sort of seems to, you know, have a lot of strategic dalliances with the ladies. Like, he always seduces the niece of the crime boss or something like that and gets information that way. Something that his female, you know, his partner, Oi, seems to, it appears that she is maybe, if not okay with that, that she tolerates that, you know, and she even on occasion is seen saving some of the women that he's slept with in the course of his, you know, quote, investigation, unquote. So I don't know if that's indicative of Thai sexual politics at the time, or if they just have a very progressive relationship, or I don't know if everybody would call that progressive exactly, but unconventional relationship, I'm not sure.
And so the NC Dang films, they were, there were six made with Mit Chibancha, but only three are available to watch on VCD or DVD.
Yeah.
And it's believed the other three do not exist anymore, as far as I am aware.
Like a lot of older Thai films. Once you get into Thai films, it's a real heartbreaker because it's really easy to kind of fall in love with them, but then the hard truth, you know, dawns on you that most of these films probably prior to the 90s are gone. And the ones that do exist are incredibly chewed up. I mean, when you can find them on DVD or VCD, you know, you watch them, there's all kinds of, they're burned, they're, you know, they look like they've been dragged on the bottom of a lake. You basically, it's like watching these movies disintegrate before your eyes. But what's left of them is very, very cool.
Yeah, so Frodo threw it in the Mount Doom, and then it got put on VCD for you. some of them have so many frames missing that it looks like you're watching an animated GIF. And so for the sound, that was all dubbed in the late 80s or 90s, because there wasn't any sound in those old films.
Right, they were done without soundtracks, and then they would have live actors were in the venue where the films were shown, acting out the dialogue. Sometimes just one guy, right? And then doing the sound effects live as well, which is really interesting. So yeah, when they put these out on VCD, they have these very weird post-dub soundtracks where it basically just sounds like if Tarz and I were just sitting watching a movie, making up dialogue as it went along, just sitting in a room. There's no attempt to create any kind of ambience that, you know, that even sort of the most haphazard dubbing jobs on an 80s, you know, Hong Kong Kung Fu movie would have. You know, it just sounds like two guys in a room just kind of making up dialogue and tie as they go along. And then the music, of course, since these discs were done in the 80s, it's like, you know, a lot of it sounds like Axel F. from the Beverly Hills, you know, cop sort of soundtrack.
Sort of synthy, jazz sounding.
Yeah, it's pretty anachronistic.
The of the three, I guess, NC Thong is the most famous of the three because that's also Mit Chibancha's directorial debut and also his only movie that he directed because he dies during the final scene. And in fact, when it was originally shown in theaters, the story goes that they left him dying in the film, being carried by a helicopter ladder, and he slips off the ladder and falls into the sea.
And that was all caught on film. And this is at the very... The very last shot of the film, him triumphantly sailing off, holding on to this ladder as the helicopter takes off. And it was a stunt that he insisted on doing himself, and he lost his grip and fell, obviously a long way. And there's apparently a shrine on the spot where that happened. I mean, this is sort of the magnitude of his fame is that to this very day there's a shrine marking the spot where Mit Chibancha died that's filled with photographs of him, and people still visit it to this day, and people still celebrate his birthday. I think they still they honor the anniversary of his death too, even. So quite an iconic star. And
And if you have the NC Thong DVD copy, we do. It also has a extra feature with footage of his funeral, where they actually lift his body up to look at the, so the crowd can see it one last time, which is sort of disturbing.
Pretty strange. One of the weirder video extras that I've seen. Yeah, they're in a temple or something, right?
Yeah.
And they're in like a second story window, and the attendants just take his body out of the coffin and hold it up to the window.
Yeah.
And he doesn't look too good either, I must say. But anyway. Yeah. That's terrible. I'm sorry. We love Mitch Ibancha. That was really disrespectful. I'm sorry, everybody on Earth.
But the films, I guess, of the three that are available, the oldest one is Awasan NC Dang, which is the third film in the series. The print on that one is really messed up, and it's only about an hour and a half long, and I have a feeling that there's probably 30, 40 minutes that are just completely gone.
Yeah, Thai films tend to run kind of long, definitely.
Hmm. Yeah, and that one's, the VCD title is just NC Dang, so that's what we initially thought it was, and then we watch it, and it's not NC Dang, it's another NC Dang.
In fact, there wasn't an original movie called, until last year, there wasn't actually a movie called NC Dang, because the very first Red Eagle movie from 1959 has some completely different title that doesn't, I don't even think it has NC Dang in the title.
No, it translates to The Gangster.
But okay.
Or something similar to that.
Yeah.
Because it's actually, I think, more about the gang than him.
Yeah. I think with the Awasan NC Dang, as I recall from reading your article, you got a lot more out of, as far as plot and context, you got a lot more out of it than I did. I have a hard time of all the, like, I mean, I enjoy the movie, but I enjoy the movie because it looks amazing. These old Thai movies are, they're shot on this 16mm color reversal film stock, which makes all of the colors super saturated. So basically anything that's a color is absolutely as much that color as it could possibly be, to the point that, you know, things in Awasan NC Dang, the thing I remember most about is there's a woman in a floral patterned shirt, and there's like some scenes shot at night where everything is pitch black, but this woman's shirt looks like it's radioactive. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's like the illuminated shirt. Mm-hmm. But I find with even with all the subtitled movies I watch from different countries, I have the hardest time with old Thai movies because they depend a lot on dialogue to move their stories forward. The stories don't seem as straightforward or as locked into standard genre conventions as some of the other pulp movies from other countries do. And the pacing is very leisurely. Yeah. There seem to be a lot of kind of slice of life moments that don't really have anything to do with the story. That just kind of, come up for no reason. So I consistently have a hard time figuring out what's going on with these movies. So usually I just kind of, they're the kind of thing where I just kind of almost take them in as sort of an ambient experience. And so some of these earlier NC Dang movies, you definitely parsed them a lot better than I did. You interpreted the action a lot better. But that movie, I know it has the elements that, you have, Rome Rithikrai, who's the NC Dang's or Red Eagle's alter ego, and his whole shtick is that he's a drunk.
Yeah,
and he's not just. I like the thing I like about that character is he's not like your typical kind of superhero alter ego who's just kind of a playboy type. He's not a hard partying playboy. He's like a serious alcoholic. Yeah. It's like he's. He gets poured out of the club at the end of the night, face first.
Yeah, like A&E's Intervention would have an episode of him.
Yeah, I think they play this differently. It's been a long time since I watched these movies, but that's a masquerade, right? I mean, I think
most of the time it's a masquerade because he'll snap out of it immediately. Right. I just don't know if it's a masquerade as in he doesn't drink or if it's he's so manly he can hold a bajillion tons of liquor.
So right, he can just switch it off. Yeah. He's just drunk when he feels like it. Yeah, because we've seen the one, like, I was just watching the beginning of Zhao and Si, which is one of the movies from 1968, which that's the second to last one, I think. And it starts with Rome, the character Rome, in this nightclub, and he's literally just kind of weaving between the tables, like, on the verge of throwing up. You know, and everybody's kind of avoiding him. And then Oi shows up and, like, hustles him into the car. And then all of a sudden he's fine.
Yeah.
So there's those elements. There's Oi and there's Rome. Then there's this character of Detective Chart, who's sort of the upstanding detective who's committed to bringing NC Dang to justice.
Yeah, and the thing about him is, I watched these in order, and the first two I watched didn't have subtitles, and it's like, oh, it's the same actor, which happens a lot. But in the third one, he was also in there again as a cop, and he has a name. And I looked up the name, and I found out that, like, that's the character that's in all the movies and all the stories, who's, like, his main cop nemesis, and that's even carried over into the new film of
right.
the main cop
nemesis. Right. So. Yeah, I was noticing that watching Zhao and Si just now, that he has a pretty big part. And he's not really a bad guy either. It's kind of like both he and the Red Eagle are good guys, but they're working at cross purposes.
Yeah. And they both save each other a couple of times.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, as the movies progress, there's less talking and more action. So Zhao and Si has, like, a mix. There's a lot more action in Zhao and Si versus Awa San and Si Dang. But NC Thong is pretty much nonstop, awesome stuff happening.
It's
a lot similar to, like, a James Bond type film.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, based on how NC Thong and all the cool James Bondy stuff and the evil supervillain who could do sort of magic stuff.
There's a crazy villain in NC Thong. That's the best part about it, I think.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping the new film would carry on like
right.
that.
Yeah. But then, you know, the thing that I realized when I watched this film is that when I first heard that Susanna Tiang was doing the new NC Dang, I assumed because of Tears of the Black Tiger, which was definitely, like, a very affectionate homage to, like, classic Thai cinema, I just assumed that NC Dang was going to be, like, an homage to the Mitch Ibanja movies, and that it would have that same super stylized, super saturated color look that Tears of the Black Tiger, and it would have the same sort of sense. But then when I heard about the movie and I saw it, I realized that, you know, these superhero movies are really expensive to make, you know, especially for a film industry like Thailand, to make, like, a state-of-the-art superhero movie.
Mm-hmm.
It costs a lot of money, so there's no reason for them to let someone come and make it an art movie, because they want to sell it overseas, and they, you know.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it didn't have to be as completely generic as it was. I mean, I still thought there was room for it to be a good movie.
Mm-hmm. He tried to update it to modern Thai culture, and so he tried to update the criminal gangs into more of a distrust of politicians and cops and everything that was going on at that point. So the film, when the film came out, was right when all the most recent riots and revolutions and the red shirt stuff was going on. And that's following, they had a coup like a year or two before, and they've had a lot. And there's, like, just look up Wikipedia if you don't know.
This ain't a news broadcast, people. Yeah. A news broadcast about, you know, 2010.
And so he tries to bring all that in, and then he also tries to set up that there's a giant secret society pulling the strings of everything. Right. And he tries to make it a contrast between old style, the old way of life of a culture of Thailand versus new modern things, which I don't think really works, because the movie is set up in the new modern style.
Right.
And that's the stuff he's trying to rally against in the actual film. So he's basically saying his film is bad.
Right. Well, yeah, because at the same time as he's trying to make it relevant to current Thai culture, he's also trying to rein it within the conventions of the modern superhero movie as established by Hollywood movies.
Yeah.
You know, like most obviously The Dark Knight, you know, but also the other movies. Looking back at my notes, one of the things I did while I was watching it is I wrote down all of the really tired ways that he tried to, or that the film tried to make update, you know, make the film seem more contemporary by Hollywood standards. I bet there was a, I'm sure you would know more things. I mean, the first thing that, the most obvious thing is that there's lots of CGI.
Yeah.
And there's lots of wire work. And a lot of the CGI is pretty horrible. I mean, the movie kind of looks like an asylum movie in some ways.
Yeah. You know?
There's a fight on an elevator that's especially, on a moving elevator that's done with all CGI that's especially terrible. And if you like, if you're a fan of bad CGI helicopters too, that's a good one.
Yeah, that part of that, there's those flying around, I think, just because of what happened to Mitch Hibansha. And then they throw in like a second or a couple seconds at the end with him hanging on a helicopter ladder. Just for no reason that doesn't have anything to do with the actual film, because it takes place after it says to be continued.
Right. Yeah, and then, yeah, after, yeah, it's a very long film, and then at the end it turns out that it's a cliffhanger. And the other thing, they make the hero a brooding loner with a troubled past, which means they get rid of the whole character of Oi, which is one of the most interesting things about the older movies. So they make him this... You know,
and he's ex-Special Forces.
Right, he's ex-Special Forces.
Everybody is.
Right, and then betrayed by his superiors during a super-secret mission that, of course, will have repercussions, whose repercussions basically form the plot of what's happening in the movie now.
Yeah, and all his men were killed, except for Detective Chart.
Exactly, that's right. it's one of those things, of course, where everybody ends up being... interconnected, you know, and Mom, you were there too, you know.
Yeah.
The other thing, lots of really stupid, superfluous, like, tech references, like the fact that, because I think in the old movies, the Red Eagle would always leave a calling card at the scene, but in the new movie, his calling card is also a flash drive.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Too bad he doesn't have, you know, wireless, and he can just kill people with the iCloud.
He needs to get... And there was also... Yeah. This may have been just the subtitles being bad, but and I'm not a very tech-savvy person either, but there was a part where Chard is talking to, like, his assistant or something, and he's looking at a picture on his computer screen, and he says, "Can't we scan this picture?" And I was wondering, like, what is the guy, do you want to pick up the monitor and hold it over a scanner? I mean, I don't know. But anyway, so.
Yeah, it might mean to, like, to run it through the software or whatever.
But okay, yeah, I guess scan
who knows?
for virus, maybe. Yeah.
Yep. One of the things I noticed is there's a lot of quick cuts in the especially in the action sequences, which is one of the things I really find annoying about a lot of modern Hollywood action films. And it's disconcerting that it's being imported overseas. One thing I had read is a lot of people seemed to think this movie would have been a lot better had the crew that does the Tony Jaa chocolate movies. Directed it. It's like, I know they're pretty good at the martial arts film. I don't think that they would have made this movie better. I think the style could have worked. It just needed a better script.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it was... Yeah, I think you're right. I don't think... I mean, it would have been fun to have some nice, well-staged fight scenes, but the problem is that the movie's all over the place, and they're just trying to shoehorn in way too many elements, and that would have just been window dressing. That wouldn't have helped the overall structure.
It's like, it still would have been bad. It just would have been nice to look at during those sequences.
Right.
And, like, you know, it's nice to look at for the pretty stuff, but it's just a mess.
Yeah. And the other thing I wanted to, the villain or the bad guy, what's he called? He's actually, and I think that's a character from The Pulps.
He's in The Pulps and he's in one of the Lost films.
Right. The Black Devil.
Yeah. Or Black Demon or Black... Right. Some word that means that translates differently depending on who's writing the subtitles.
And looking at Black Devil, he's sort of just, you know, I immediately think, you know, Darth Vader,
yeah.
Cobra Commander, Skeletor,
yeah.
Dr. Doom. He's like the most generic villain they possibly could have come up with.
He looks like the 2004 Fantastic Four's Dr. Doom mixed with the Death Eaters from Harry Potter 5. Right.
Yeah,
and like it's, yeah, except with a gigantic knife sword thing that is ridiculously shaped too. And
yes, this film also. The other thing about this film is it is really hellaciously violent. they kind of make. I mean, Mitch Ibanez's Red Eagle is definitely more of a lover than a fighter, you know. Mm-hmm. And watching the film I watched tonight, there was a scene where he breaks into a criminal compound, and he basically takes out the security guards with the old, you know, rapping him on the head with the butt of his revolver and knocking him out. This Insidang is like, he's basically like Michael Myers or like Jason Voorhees. He like is like randomly just slicing people's heads off and just dispatching people in the goriest manner possible. And there's a part where he's, I think it's the scene where he's going after the pedophile senator and he's trying to get into the senator's compound. And the first thing he does, he comes up to the security guard and he just lops the guy's head off without the guy ever, you know, even making any resistance. So that was just sort of his first line of attack was, so he comes off, you know, as a psycho, basically.
Yeah.
And not that I have anything against the gore, per se. It was just, you know, seeing as also with all the other things going on in the movie, we really don't get much of an introduction to the character or why he is. And I think, I guess a lot of the background stuff that is supposed to tell us why this version of Insidang is the way he is in the second movie that's probably never going to get made now.
Yeah. Yeah, so we learn more about the girlfriend character's life and a lot more about Detective Chart than we ever learn about Rome Riddickry's life.
Right, so it is kind of like a horror movie where we're with these other characters who are sympathetic characters and then the Red Eagle shows up and he's just slicing people up and, you know, committing all this horrible mayhem. In it.
Yeah. I don't even think Rome shows up as Rome until almost an hour into the film.
Yeah, I think that's true, too.
And it's just more like, oh, he's there, too. And then, oh, wow. And then it's, you know, it's not like everyone were fought. Like, the other movies, we just follow Rome around, and then he turns into Insidang and back and forth. And it's like 90% of the scenes have him. And, like, these are just...
Yeah, this one was all over the place. What else is... Oh, the other thing that irritated me that was like, you know, stupid thing to make the movie contemporary is something I'm really sick of is the neck cracking. Like the beginning of the fight when the Black Devil is going to fight Insidang, he does that thing where he cracks his neck.
Yeah.
You know, I guess it's the self-chiropractic move.
Yeah. Because that makes you fight better.
Right. Oh, and all the guns have laser sights, so you have that thing where you're always seeing the laser, you know, like someone, like kids with a laser pointer are shooting, or pointing laser pointers all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I think we both hated this movie pretty equally.
Yeah. So it's not a film I recommend unless you like generic action films. It's like, it's not so bad. It's fun to make fun of.
Right.
But...
And there are better generic action films, too.
Yeah, and it's not...
more coherent. Yeah. And have an ending, too.
Yeah.
That's the other, you know... This one you'll watch for 2 hours, and then it doesn't even give you any kind of an ending.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so... So, yeah, I wouldn't recommend it. I would highly not recommend it. I know I came across pretty strong about the Dara Singh films last time where I was saying, like, everybody has to get into Dara Singh. I'm not going to say that about the Insidang movies. We really like them. Mm-hmm. They're a little difficult, especially seeing as the only one that actually is available with subtitles is Insidang. I'd recommend that one, but...
Yeah, I'd recommend that one first and then Jiawansi.
Yeah.
Second, and then if you're up to it, Awasan and Insidang, but be warned, there's a lot less going on in that one.
Yeah, that's but I would highly not recommend the new NC Dang.
Yeah. In fact, I'd recommend NC Paeyong,
which is
made in the 80s when Thai cinema was at its near awfulness.
it's not near.
Yeah, above this one.
Yeah, that was an interesting one, right? Okay. We didn't talk about that one. Yeah. That's a female NC Dang movie.
Yeah. In fact, I think it falls into the official NC Dang universe because I believe she's supposed to be playing the daughter of Rome Richcry and his character.
Once again, no subtitles.
Yes. And she, you know, slaughters lots of people too, but
yeah,
very she does it with needles instead of a folding sword that slices off people's limbs one by one.
Yeah, it's a lot more low tech. But and I had this problem with NC Paeyong again, where a lot of the story was established through dialogue, so she's very ruthlessly assassinating all these bad guys, but we really don't get a sense of what without understanding the dialogue, we don't really get a sense of what they're doing because they're basically your typical kind of sleazy, TV cop show bad guys who wear like floral shirts and sunglasses, and you see them exchanging briefcases full of cash a few times. But you really don't get a sense what they're doing, and then she just comes in and just wastes them all with extreme prejudice.
Yeah, they don't even apparently do anything bad until the very end where they put bombs on a bridge. But before that, it's, I had no clue what they were supposed to be doing except they hung out at a construction site, which is a good place to film a cheap action sequence where you can destroy stuff without spending a lot of money fixing it up afterwards.
Yeah, and there are some good cheapo 80s action movies type action scenes. Mm-hmm. In The Star and Get Your Bells Ready, Jaruni Sask. Sorry, I almost got out. Jaruni Saksawat, who was a big, in the 80s, was like the leading female action star in Thailand. And this movie also has Sorapong Chatri, who was the that guy of the 80s. In the 60s, the that guy was Mitchai Bancha. Mm-hmm. 70s, it was Sombat Metany. And in the 80s, it was Sorapong Chatri. And I like the thing that you said, Tars, where you said that it was to the point where if there was a movie being made in Thailand, Sorapong Chatri would just show up because he figured he had to be in it. And who's only, I think he's only would be familiar to Western audiences because Godfrey Ho took some of his movies and cut them up and made, Franken Ninja movies out of them.
Yeah, you'll be shocked at how familiar, if you watched, maybe half a dozen of those, he's probably in 70-80% of those.
Yeah. Without realizing it, I'm sure. Yeah.
He'll be on the phone with Harris. What's his name? Harrison, the guy who's in like.
Richard Harris.
Yeah, Richard Harrison.
Right. The white ninja guy.
Yeah, when he's talking on his Garfield phone, it'll be the Sorapong Chatri.
Oh, one of the other things I was going to say, harkening back, which is it's probably too late, but Jowansi, which is the next to last Mitchai Bancha film as the Red Eagle, is directed by this dude named, I'm going to call him, he was nice enough to anglicize his name to Philip Chalong. His actual name is Chalong Pack Divigit, ding, 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 ding. and Jowansi was his first film, and I just mention it because he's a guy who sort of was like the Thai answer to a guy like Sirio Santiago in the Philippines, is that he eventually started making low-budget action movies for the export market, which he would try to make saleable by casting Z-level Western stars in them. So he made a lot of action movies about gold with people like Chris Mitchum and Eric Estrada. And he made one with Greg Morris from Mission Impossible, which was just called Gold, which I reviewed on the site. So that was where he got his start, was on a Red Eagle movie. I think that's all we've seen, isn't it? That covers the whole Red Eagle. I mean, there are others. There were a few others. You mentioned.
Yeah, there's a few that were done after Mitchai Bancha died that star other people. Unfortunately, I don't have the names in front of me.
Yeah.
One has a character with a black mask, which I'm not sure if that's supposed to be like his friend who's just taking over a job while Rome is on vacation.
He's the temp. Oh, yeah. Eagle. Yeah.
Or if it's like NC Thong where he has to, you know, dress up as another character because there's a guy impersonating.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And NC Thong, he has to because the bad guys are impersonating him to create, to perpetrate a string of assassinations. He actually, Rome comes out of retirement because he's promised Oi that he's not going to be Red Eagle anymore, but because his name has been sullied by this imposter, he decides he needs to get down to the bottom of it. But for reasons that, you know, for some reason that obviously makes sense to him to do it, he feels like he can't do it as the Red Eagle. So he becomes the Gold Eagle, which means that he wears a costume exactly the same as the Red Eagle costume, except it's gold and it doesn't fool anybody. Like Chart still knows it's him. So Chart is still after him and getting in the way. Mm-hmm. But
and they know that the NC Dang that's killing people isn't the real NC Dang either. So it's like,
right? Like he could have just stayed home and you know, with his wife and you know.
So I like to think that movie has the exact same plot, except they have impersonators for both NC Dang and NC Thong,
uh-huh.
And so he has become the Black NC. And then you know, there's probably more where they'll have a whole rainbow coalition of NCs.
Right, like Power Rangers.
Yeah, for the Green Lantern Corps.
Right, exactly.
So I think we've said pretty much all we can say about NC Dang, unless a new NC Dang film magically appears.
Which at this point it doesn't look like is going to happen. So
yeah, no, unless they might reboot the whole series one more time.
Uh-huh.
Or they might have another TV show. But because there was a TV show, which we didn't mention, but pretend we did.
Yeah. So. Oh, but Tony Jaa was the stunt stand-in for the star. I think that's how he got his start.
So all
that little bit in there.
Yeah. All you Tony Jaa fans have to track it down now, or you're not a true Tony Jaa fan.
You are a failure.
Yeah, and then he hates you.
He's coming for you.
Mm-hmm. So, as you go to try to avoid Tony Jaa's wrath, we'll sign off. Until next time. Bye.
Bye. Thank you and good night.